Morning, everyone. This morning, we'll be reading a verse of scripture from Luke. A word of prayer before we begin. Heavenly Father, Lord God, it is good to be able to call you Father, to come to you, knowing, God, that you will give us all good things according to your will. Lord, we thank you for this. Verses that you talked about showing us how to pray, Lord, help us to hear also with our ears. And we just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And this verse here continues just right after the Lord's Prayer, which Fred was talking about earlier here. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Well, the first thing I notice about this parable, this is a word picture that Jesus gives the disciples to continue on the theme of the Lord's Prayer, and when the disciples ask us, teach us to pray. So he presents this parable to give an example of being persistent in prayer. When I first read this King James Version of the word, I didn't quite know what that meant, but it means being persistent. And also that I noticed in this parable that this takes place at midnight, which is not an exact time to wake your neighbor and say, hey, you know, I need some help here. But it's not a selfish request. If this friend hadn't come to him in need and hunger, and he would have said, well, we'll just take care of it in the morning. So he's looking out for his friend's needs here, and he's not selfish in his request. And Jesus shows in this that it's not because he's his friend that he rises, because he's persistent, and this friend notices his strong desires to help out his friend. Jesus wants to approach us as a friend or a neighbor also when he talks about this in fervency and continuously. As a man often gives because the request is repeated, and this earnestness and frequency in asking are often required in expressing strong desires. Some examples I found in the Bible would be when Hannah was praying at the tabernacle, and you know that she's probably spent years praying a similar prayer, and it helps, I think, to sort out our desires and our wants from what our needs are. And I think that's why God wants us to go through this process, to really think about what we're asking of him, because he will hear our requests, but I think he wants to bring our requests in line with his will for our life. So he gives us this example to kind of really think about what we're asking of him. And if it is the desire of the heart, he will comply. I think of also the Lord praying at Gethsemane. You know, here he was in the midnight hour and knowing what was coming upon him, but he was persistent, and God answered the prayer, and the Lord got the answer from the Father. And things worked out according to God's will and for our benefit. And another simple example would be Abraham concerning Sodom and Gomorrah, when he asked over and over, you know, what about this many, this many, this many? And God honored that request and kept answering it. So some of that, these things that they're not always pleasant because we suffered the trials, but because if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our heart, as it says in Psalm 37. And conclusion I came to this, that for our time today, that I was thinking about how does this reflect on things today, and And I look around and I see our nation, and as we're approaching the midnight hour, or the state of our nation, we're in real trouble here with the elections looming. It's a real turning point, the future of the courts, economic realities, conditions of our churches. So I earnestly will be praying, God, at this late hour for that your will would be done, and that as we learn in Chronicles, my people who are known by my name will humble themselves and pray. You will heal our land. And that was what I came to thinking about reading these verses.
Thank you, honey, for that message. I'm here with our
there we go. Now you're on.
Okay. You hear me now?
Go ahead.
No? Okay, I'm here with one of our dear members, Betty Moxon, and she's a longtime resident of Patoxie, Michigan, and has been a member of our congregation for a very long time. Betty, how did you come to Northern Michigan and in our church?
My dad owned a telephone exchange in Alba, Michigan, and my mother was always interested in a Baptist church, and there was a missionary to Hiawatha Baptist Missions in the Upper Peninsula. Whenever he came through Alba, he always stopped to see my parents. And he said, you should start going to church in Petoskey. So my sister and I were just little kids. And so every Sunday we packed up and came up here, and the fellowship was great. Somebody took us to their home every week, and we had dinner, and usually we stayed for the evening service. And so my parents decided that they would have to move to Petoskey. So my father found a job up here, and we moved to Petoskey in 33. In the meantime, I thought this church was great. I loved the stars in the dome. That's what I did most of the time, was count the stars. And we had different pastors, and over the years, and all of them were good. So I just kept going here. And then when I was married and had a family, we all went here too. So I call this my home church, and I've been going here steady since 1933, except for a couple years when my husband was in the service and I was away. So this is my home church, and I love it here, and I love the people. And I never was a Sunday school teacher or anything like that, because that was not my gift. But I love flowers and I love decorating. So Marilyn Hall and I were on the flower committee for years and years, and I still pursue it somewhat. And I sang in the choir for as long as they had a choir, and those were my two missions here at the church, and I helped with a lot of other different things over the years too. And I guess that's about it. I'm still going strong.
Amen.
Do you still count the stars up there?
Yeah, no, not anymore.
Well, Betty has a story about our friend Phyllis, who used to sit back here by her, and could you share that with us?
Sure. Phyllis and I met in seventh grade, and we just were connected together over all of these years. And I always called her my best friend. And I always asked her, will you go to church with me? Because she didn't go to church regularly any place. And so she decided one time to come, and she met Jean and Margaret. And the four of us did a lot of things together. And we took Phyllis to Gitche-Gumee Camp one year, and she wanted to go back. And so that was our mission, and Phyllis was saved. And I know that she's in heaven now.
Well, I just appreciate that story that you asked her over and over. Was it 25 years you asked her to go to church? And it just kind of goes with that persistence that Leanne was talking about, and to persistently pray and ask people to share with them. Thank you, Betty, for sharing this morning.
You're welcome.
So I appreciate your testimony and just being faithful to you continually. So.
Thank you, Betty. 83 years, that's how long she's been going to this church, and she started in 33. 83 years, can you imagine that? I'm probably not even going to live to be 83. So, and if I am, I'm over halfway there. So, what we're going to do first is we are going to take a moment and we are going to pray for those who